Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Other People's Problems, the show in which I challenge two very special guests to bask in the misery of complete strangers and also compete in a very high-stakes game to be crowned the grand poobah of problem solving or some better title that I may come up with someday. Joining me this week are two people that I know, and I want them, per usual, to introduce themselves. Person whose name begins with K, introduce yourself and tell everybody how you know me.
I'm Kimberly. I'm from A Date with Dateline, and Rebecca Lavoie is our big sister in the podcasting world, and she's been...
That makes me sound old.
Like, a big sister could be like a year and a half older.
Oh, cool. That's true. Like an Irish twin, maybe?
She's our Irish twin big sister, and she looks younger, and she has the best hair in the business, and she's always been very kind to us. I will do anything that she ever asks me to
do. Oh, that's so nice. Tell people I don't look 50.
Okay, then that's cool. Yeah.
Other person here, tell folks who you are and tell everybody how you know me.
Hello, I am Ellen Marsh, and I am the host of the podcast I Think Not with Joey Taranto, as well as Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case with Rabia Chaudhry. And Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey with Daisy Egan right here on Grab Bag Collab.
It's very funny.
I love it. And I know Rebecca Lavoie because we dated in the 80s. We had a really amicable breakup. I kid. I know Rebecca Lavoie because everybody knows Rebecca Lavoie. And I basically am seeking to befriend the entire Lavoie / Flynn family and hope to get adopted one day.
Oh, well, that's not going to fucking happen. All right. So, Ellen, quick question for you. What makes you qualified to give counsel on other people's problems?
Well, what I do is I work backwards because I am such a train wreck of a person that I basically tell people what to do, which would thereby be the opposite of what I would do, which would be the correct answer. So I actually think I'm highly qualified for this because I am a mess in a dress.
So you're like George Costanza. You do the opposite of what Costanza would do.
Exactly. Yep. It's scientifically proven that 85% of the time it works, 22% of the time. So,
Kimberly, what makes you qualified to counsel on other people's problems?
My toxic trait is that I always think I'm right. And instead of pushing it away in therapy every week, this is going to really let me just dive into it.
Yeah, I love that answer. I just want to dwell on that one for a minute. Embracing the toxic traits. All right. So, Ellen, what is the worst advice you have ever gotten?
Oh, God, I've gotten so much bad advice. I would probably say to give up on my dreams and get a real career and be a real person, which was just yesterday. And it was actually from Rebecca Lavoie, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah. Get a real job, Ellen.
Yeah. Get a real job. Get a real career. Who the fuck do you think you are?
That's the real reason we're here today.
Thank you. This is an intervention.
It's a podtervention. What about you, Kimberly? What's the worst advice you've ever gotten?
No one gives me advice because they know I won't take it. Mm. So I really can't think of a time anyone has tried to tell me what to do.
That's right. That's how we feel about that, giving you advice. Kimberly, quick question for you. How do you feel about people who can't sit with their back to the door?
I thought the question was ending at people. I was ready to say, I do not enjoy them.
Okay. Okay.
For the most part.
All right. Well, then I guess that includes people who can't sit with their back to the door.
Yeah.
Do you ever meet one of those freaks? The people who are like, I can't sit with my back to the door.
I think that's reasonable. I watch Dateline for a living.
What about you, Ellen? How do you feel about those freaks who, like, when you go to a restaurant, they're like, I can't sit with my back to the door?
Yeah,
are they in the mafia?
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't notice anything. I don't notice things. I walk around in a stupid bubble, a bubble of stupidity. So that's something that would never cross my mind. So yeah.
Yeah. I agree that you walk around in a bubble of stupidity. I've seen it. And also, I think people who can't sit with their back to the door are just like people who are like, don't put that picture of me on social media. It's like, what the fuck do you have to hide that you're afraid?
They're in WITSEC.
Yes. What's the matter with you? Like, what did you do to somebody that you're afraid somebody's going to come in here and do something to you? You probably deserve it, right? My first thought. Okay, well, let's get started now that you're all warmed up. Here's what we're going to do. In this part of the show, round one, I'm going to read some questions from different places that people go to seek advice online. After I read the question, I'm going to get your reactions and the advice you would give to this total and complete stranger. Now, whoever gives the advice that is closest to the expert advice that was given to the person or closest to the most popular advice given, that person among you will get a point. Ties are allowed. This is totally at my discretion. You might be thinking, can I game the system? Can I give advice that I don't agree with, but that might be the correct answer? Abso-fucking-lutely. I don't care. Play the game however you want. Is that clear?
There's no monetary prize or anything.
No.
Just the satisfaction of knowing that you beat me. And I would like to say that I'm about to put my fighting gloves on, but I deeply love and respect Kimberly, but like, your ass is grass. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you believe you're going to win this game. That's
your ass
prediction.
Is grass and I'm going to mow it.
I love it. I love it.
Don't talk dirty to me, Kimberly. We haven't even started.
Spirit of competition is alive and well on this edition of OPP.
I'm just glad you separated me and Katie because Katie is so competitive that it's almost destroyed our friendship over games of Mario Kart. So good luck when you record with her.
Who should I put Katie on with? What would be your suggestion?
Someone Robbie passive. Oh my God, she would die. She would be so nervous. She would never speak in front of Rabia.
All right. I'll think about that.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So our first piece of advice is from the broad category of things that only a man would write to an advice column about. This is brought to us courtesy of Slate's sex column, How to Do It. Every woman I slept with was once shocked by what I brought to bed, and I want those reactions back, is the title of this question. Dear How to Do It, I was not the most comfortable around women when I was younger. If I was not in class, studying, or playing a sport during high school and college, I was working, so I did not start dating regularly until my mid-20s. The women I dated always mentioned how well endowed I was and became enamored with it. One girlfriend shared, bragged to just about everyone. A few women asked if I ever shot porn or considered it. I met my now wife in my late 20s and married in my early 30s. My wife recognizes my size and shared that I am by far the biggest she has ever seen. I very much love my wife and we have a great sex life. But now, I am very much missing the jubilant reaction of women when they see my penis for the first time. I am cognizant about approaching 40 and I cannot help but think about this. I regret how shy and embarrassed I was of my size and that I did not embrace it. I know this seems like a rich person complaining that they have too much money, but I am becoming consumed by my large endowment, possibly to my detriment. I have joined large penis dating websites, I visit size comparison sites, and I read everything on the topic. I've become more confident. I've actually had conversations with women on the sites and have even shared penis pics at their request and have relished in their exclaimed excitement. I've also launched an OnlyFans anonymously and very much enjoy the feedback. I cannot help but feel I am in a dangerous zone pursuing these outlets. I've tried two therapists, but ultimately became too embarrassed to bring it up. How do I get past this? Signed, consumed by large endowment. Alan Marsh, what are your thoughts and what do you think the advice was to Mr. Consumed by Large Endowment? And yes, this is a thing that only a man would think to write to an online advice columnist about.
Dear Big Penis Haver, please email your concerns to idontcare.com. Like, here's the thing. Like, hey, everybody, come look at how big my penis is. I don't think I'm alone in saying it doesn't fucking matter. Some women like penis pics. Now, first of all, I want to say that I don't care what anyone does in the bedroom. If you're safe, if you're consensual, if you're having a good time, I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to know. It doesn't matter. But it is truly not about the size, because it's most women will tell you that they orgasm from oral, or the small percentage of women can always orgasm from penetration. And so, like, it's fun to look at, like, you know, your flesh sword, my man, but it doesn't actually matter. And also, you're obsessed with the size of your penis at 40. You need therapy. Mm. You don't need to be going to these sites, to these porn sites. Like, are you a good person? Are you funny? Do you have a 401k? It just all seems so man-driven, and I don't want to turn this into a man-bashing answer, but I feel like an expert would say, get over it. I'm bored, and you sound like a dick.
All right. All right. Kimberly, what do you think How to Do It said to Mr. Consumed by Large Endowment?
First of all, the whole thing is just a humble brag, right? That's why he wrote it. Secondly, I get feeling regretful about your past, because I also was very self-conscious about things that I didn't need to be when I was younger. And now I'm older and I regret that. Like, oh, I was young and like, why did I care? You know, I was so self-conscious. I get that. But he is narcissist. He is like narcissist, like looking in the water and he's going to die. I don't remember how he died. Did he fall in the water? I don't remember what happened.
He was held down by the weight of his penis. You're telling me. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Is he still married?
Yes.
So none of this is fair to his wife.
Mm.
He should be seeking validation from himself inside and from his wife, who should love him. And if she loves him, that's enough. He needs therapy. They have online therapy. They even have therapy without video. So you could maybe do some sort of, like, you know, with the video off, confess you need help, sex addiction, something. I don't know if there's a group for this. I think it would just be a bunch of men talking about how big their penises are. You're really
the most boring group on the internet.
A group I don't want to be part of. But maybe he's not on video and the therapist isn't on video, so he can't see if they're laughing at him. And hopefully they'll sound professional in their voice when they tell him, you need to work on this and get over yourself. And don't live with regrets. Focus on your soul. I liked Ellen's answer. Therapy.
That was actually your answer, Kimberly. I have to say, you're both right, but I'm giving this point to Kimberly, because here's actually what Stoya's answer was to Mr. Consumed by Large Endowment. He needs to go to the therapist and use it as the opportunity to work on getting over his feelings of embarrassment. And because, Kimberly, you were the one who acknowledged his wife, he needs to go to his wife and say, hey, I screwed up. Here's what I've done. I'm asking you to be by my side. Here's my partner as I work through why I have done this, and I can work on whatever needs to change inside of me so I am not doing it anymore. Unless, of course, you think it's great and want me to show everyone on the internet my massive member, in which case, fantastic. So, Kimberly, I am awarding you the first point.
I would like to petition for a half point.
For what?
Because I mentioned therapy and also I made jokes.
Oh, fuck it. I'll give you half a point.
Yes!
Nice job.
Nice job petitioning. Yes, yeah, I told you. It's completely arbitrary and totally at my discretion.
I'm glad we agree that this man is fully emotionally cheating on his wife.
100%. Also, another piece of Stoya's advice was this guy went to college, so presumably he's some kind of working professional, and one of these days someone's going to recognize a throw pillow in the background of his OnlyFans account. So consider, even if the wife is like, yeah, I love your OnlyFans thing, being anonymous, it ain't going to last, sir.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, anonymous dicks, not a thing.
Uh-huh.
Also, women don't like dick pics.
No.
They don't. They
I'm
don't.
Sorry. Dicks are the funniest fucking things in the entire world.
Agree.
I am sadly and regrettably straight as an arrow, but I would much rather look at a naked woman than a naked
100%.
Man.
100%. And I have said this to my husband many times. Your dick is hilarious.
It's hilarious. He sends me dick pics all the time. I'm like, Kevin, stop it.
He sends them to you and you're like...
Can we bring back like bicep pics? Because that's what's hot. Like a good bicep.
Let's bring those back, shall we?
Yeah.
A little like Mario Lopez in Saved by the Bell or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, he was so hot.
Yeah.
So AC Slater can
a
lay
good
on top of me.
Butt pic in a pair of jeans.
Yes.
That's enough.
Yeah. Like
closed
Bruce Springsteen, Born
butt
on the
pic.
USA cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget it.
Make me laugh. And also. Yeah. Go down on me for 45 minutes.
Okay? It's not too much
hundo,
to ask.
Hundo, hundo, hundo. All right. So our score stands at 1 point versus 0.5 points for Miss Ellen Marsh. Right now, Kimberly is our leader.
You.
Next question. This is in the category I like to call That Person in Every Family, courtesy the Dear Annie column. Dear Annie is the title of the question. Our son-in-law pigs out at family dinners, and we are disgusted by it. My 40-year-old son-in-law has horrible manners. At dinner, if we have a buffet set up with 6 pieces of chicken and there are 6 people eating, he will grab 4 pieces. He is always first in line and makes sure he gets the biggest and best of everything. He once shoved his entire dirty hand into a jar of pickles instead of using the fork. He typically will go back through the line at least 4 times and then sneak back for more when we all retire to the living room. He always heads outside if there's any work to be done. This is so maddening. It's gotten so bad that my husband and I don't want him at our house anymore. This leads to issues when we host events for birthdays and holidays. Everyone watches him in disgusted fascination, and the elders don't hold back their criticism among themselves. How can we address this? Signed... Fed up and grossed out. Kimberly, what do you think Annie of Dear Annie said to fed up and grossed out?
Could they talk to his wife about it?
Hmm.
Or subtly get him a book on manners?
Hmm.
Like a funny joke book about manners. I don't like confrontation.
Peppa Pig says, please, something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I also think they need to just, if they're inviting him, get way more chicken and ask him to wash his hands and ask him to use the fork. Just be direct. Hey, we're using the fork now. It's COVID times. Let's not all breathe on each other, okay? And he's a double dipper. I know he's a double dipper. Like, we don't even have to ask. And that is gross. Maybe make him a plate. And I don't know. You might have to talk to this man like he's a child.
Okay.
You're going to wait until everyone else has had some.
Okay.
And then you can go back. Or just make it a general rule.
Your advice is to, you said like 4 different things. So
yeah, I said talk to the wife.
Uh-huh.
Joke book.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, if that doesn't work, you got to be direct.
Okay.
And... I'm giving one more thing. Invite a child over.
Oh.
And then you say, we're trying to teach this child about manners.
Good
so
one.
Here's what we're going to do. And we're going to ask everyone to do this so we can teach this child. If you don't know a child, you rent a child for the day and say, this child needs to learn about manners.
Gotcha.
And so we're all going to do this and be great role models for this child. So we're going to use a fork for the pickles and we're going to only go once for, you know, until everyone has had something. I think that's... That's it. That's my final answer.
Got it. Okay. So Ellen, Kimberly gave a cornucopia of responses to this question. What is your response to fed up and grossed out? What do you think Annie of Dear Annie said to fed up and grossed out?
Sorry, one second. I'm just on the phone with the police because Kimberly thinks it's okay to rank kids. Arnold? Kimberly Arnold. Yeah, no, I don't know what she does in her house. I really don't. But no, it's recorded. I'll send you the recording. Sorry. Different Kimberly Arnold.
It's fine.
I feel like my response wouldn't be the expert's response because my response would be to make a joke about it. I would say, like, I don't know where those fingers have been. Go wash your hands. Or, you know, I would make a Peppa Pig joke and be like, let's not be the greedy pig, shall we? Again, I am a people pleaser like Kimberly. I would think that an expert person who's much more skilled in these things would probably say, you all need to have a sit down. And by the way, I'm all for it because I'm a big manners person. I have to bite my tongue not to correct my daughter's friend's manners. And I used to when they were younger. And Lola was like, can you not correct my friend's manners?
Oh, I do that. I mean, that's my house, man. They have to have manners in my house.
Also, I would like to reiterate that I absolutely blame this man's parents because manners are taught from a very young age. Yes, please. No, thank you. It's just constant reinforcement. So this man did not get that reinforcement. And I would absolutely not invite him to Passover if I was Jewish.
I am, and I wouldn't. Correct.
So, yeah, I feel like the expert would say to sit down and have an adult conversation and say, these are the actions that we see, and it's just not great. Can we just work on it? I would probably make a joke.
Did he grow up, like, as an orphan, like Oliver Twist, where he just didn't have food growing up?
This is incredible. This is what I'm going to do, because this is tough. I am going to award Ellen the full point. However, I have to give Kimberly half a point because she literally touched on every single aspect of this answer, but she did it backward. So here is the actual verbatim answer to this question. The best way to address this is head on. His behavior has got to stop or he is simply not welcome at your house. That is Ellen's technical answer. Address it head on. But then Annie goes on to say, I do worry a bit about his appetite. Is he getting enough at home? Kimberly just stated that. Or perhaps your cooking is that good. That would be one way to look at it. But regardless, sit him and your daughter down. Kimberly touched on that. And tell them that it must stop. No one likes to eat with a little piggy around. So Kimberly, you did like the inverse triangle.
Great.
So I'm giving you half a point. And I am giving Ellen the full point, which means right now we have a tie game.
Yeah.
1.5 points versus 1.5 points.
Also, that guy's gross.
Super gross.
Does his wife enjoy? She has to eat with him with no one else around to distract them.
Maybe she thinks it's super hot. Who would you rather live with? The guy who's obsessed with his large penis or this guy? Fuck, marry, kill. Go.
Right. I would probably say the dick guy because bad man, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Have you ever been? It's like when you go out with someone that has or like yells at a waiter and you're just you want to light yourself on fire, like
it's
and
disgusting.
Just disappear.
Somebody who complains, I don't even care. It's like complain in the car. You pay your fucking minimum 20% and you complain in the fucking car. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moving on. this next one is an actual, it's a unicorn, an actual well-meaning person from Reddit's Am I the Asshole? Do you have any idea how rare this is?
Very.
A unicorn. Here we go. Am I the asshole for crashing a birthday party my son went to with pizza, drinks, and snacks? I, 39-year-old male, am a single father to a 13-year-old boy, Charles. We recently moved to a new area, going from a rural area into a populated city. Naturally, Charles has had some issues adjusting to this new life. His old high school had 114 students. His new one has over 3,000. But he quickly made a new friend, Jared. His new friend introduced him to his other friends, and sharing the same interests, they have all hit it off very well. On Friday, Jared had a birthday party and invited Charles over. When I talked to Jared's mother, she informed me that it would be relatively small and laid back, just Jared, Charles, and three other teen boys. At around 6:30, my curiosity got the best of me, and I shot Charles a text to ask how everything was going. Charles responded with, "Good, just hungry." I assumed dinner just hadn't been served yet, so I asked Charles what they were having. Charles responded with, "Already ate, ordered pizza, just a medium for all of us." Having been a 13-year-old boy in the distant past, I realized that a medium pizza to be shared among five boys was comically insufficient amount of food. I tried to call Jared's mother, but she didn't pick up. I then decided to take things into my own hands and put in an order for three large pizzas, went to the store, got a couple of 12-packs of pop with some assorted snacks. Then I picked up the pizzas and headed to Jared's house. I rang the doorbell and his mother answered. She was initially confused until she saw that I had brought over a ton of food. One of Jared and Charles's mutual friends also saw me with the food, having lost any shot at hiding what went down, she invited me in. The kids, including Jared and Charles, all seemed happy. One boy said, "Finally, enough food," which put a very dark expression on Jared's mother's face. She put on a show of thanking me in front of all the kids and having them thank me as well, but then she took me outside and said she really wished I hadn't done that. She explained that she was a single mother and money was tight. She just wanted to do one nice thing for her son on his birthday. I felt terrible and tried to apologize, but it didn't seem to do much good. Then I invited her and Jared over for dinner sometime, which she kind of brushed off. She made an excuse about needing to clean up and walked away. I feel terrible, but I really wonder if I did something so wrong. Am I the asshole? Now, I am looking for the top answer to this question, though I will tell you guys, this one sparked a tremendous amount of debate on this subreddit, Am I the Asshole? So, Ellen Marsh, knowing that there are a variety of possibilities here, what is your response to this Am I the Asshole question on Reddit?
Reddit is a cesspool, so I would understand why there would be varying degrees of answers. I do understand that because I would imagine the answers would be you food shamed her, you host shamed her, you embarrassed her. But when you step back and zoom out, you have to focus on the intention. Intention is everything. And my love language is feeding people. I love feeding people. You know, he explained, he asked, he texted, he called, he went through the protocol, and he was doing something out of the goodness of his heart. And sometimes our intention doesn't always match what people receive. But I feel like she could have been a little gentler in her words and explain and maybe phrased it, "Thank you so much. Money has been tight. I really appreciate that. I have to tell you, I do feel a little weird because I was trying to do something nice." So I think lambasting him wasn't the way to go because that wasn't his intent. He wasn't making it rain to these kids and bringing them all Beats headphones. He just brought over some pizza. However, being a single mom and respecting how hard people work for their money, I can understand her embarrassment. So I feel like her tone was inappropriate and could have been handled in a more positive way because his intention was pure.
Kimberly, what do you think?
I think intention is great, but the result is that it hurt her feelings. So I think he needs to make it up to her, and I think she will soften over time. She's just embarrassed. I don't think he's the asshole, though, because I don't think he did it to be malicious at all. But I do think he needs to atone and make it up to her. After a couple gestures, if she's still not having it, then it's just not meant to be. She's not going to let go of it. But a reasonable person would get over their embarrassment, realize his intention was good, and get over it shortly. So no, I don't think he's the asshole, but he still has a little work to put in.
Wow. You guys basically said the same thing. So I'm giving you both a point. The consensus here is that either no one is the asshole or everyone sucks. That seems to be the consensus on this subreddit, because basically the top answer is you embarrass the mother with food and she overreacted. So everybody sucks here. And then some people are like, I sort of agree, but I think it's weird to think someone's the asshole for showing up and just trying to be helpful. And yes, she was embarrassed, but maybe she could have rolled with it in front of her kid and not embarrassed him. And then another person's like, obviously you don't know what it's like to be poor. And then another person's like, yeah, but the guy's saying he actually does know what it's like to sort of be a kid and hungry. And then someone else is like, yeah, but these kids could have survived another 2 hours without eating pizza. It is crazy. But the top answer is good intentions, overreaction. Either no one's an asshole or they both kind of suck. So guys, there's not a lot of conflict in this game so far. It is still a tie game. You guys both get the point. 2.5 points for each of you so far.
I felt myself going, oh, because embarrassment is such a strong emotion.
It is.
That's right.
And it usually flips to anger because you're so embarrassed you don't know how to deal with it. So you show it by being pissed. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So far in this game, we do have a tie score. 2.5 points to 2.5 points. Now, listeners, before we continue to finish round one, I am so proud to announce that we have an incredible sponsor.
Oh, I love your sponsors,
For today's
Rebecca.
Episode of Other People's Problems, it's a product that is solving two problems in one. Do you love taxidermy? And are you horny for rodents?
Yes.
Well, you are in luck because today's sponsor is Candy, the taxidermy stripper mouse on a tiny little pole. That is what Candy looks like.
It's
Candy
adorable.
Is part of the Squeakers collection of taxidermied mice. Squeakers are stripper mice, and they come in all sorts of positions on their very own poles, from leg hangs to hip holds to extended butterflies. But Candy, she's maybe the sexiest. Her little tail is wrapped around that pole in the most beguiling way. Reviews of Candy include, I love my mouse so much. The pictures here don't do her justice on the quality of the mouse. 5 stars. And amazing. Seriously, so, so cute. And the amount of care the artist puts into making sure the mouse is clean and well-treated is very evident. 5 stars. And this is my second one of these. I felt like my first needed a little stripper friend. 5 stars. Candy, the taxidermied stripper mouse. It's selling fast. In fact, as of this writing, there's only one left in stock for the low price of $119.21 on Etsy. Thanks so much to seller Oh Stuff Fine for offering Candy to the world and for sponsoring this episode of Other People's Problems. Now it is time to get back to the program.
Sorry, Rebecca, do you have a code for that?
I'll just give you guys a little ogle. Yeah.
I want it.
That's one flexible dead mouse.
That's right. Didn't you see how well cared for this mouse is?
It's shiny and white, gleaming.
So well cared for before it was murdered and stuffed and put on a stripper pole for your amusement.
I'm thinking it died naturally. That's what I'm going to go with.
I think Candy is probably living its best afterlife.
Also, is there a future career here for the penis guy? Could he do some sort of like penis modeling for sculptors?
That's right. Though,
sculptors, like with clay.
Candy is the Jennifer Lopez of rodent taxidermy. Welcome back to Other People's Problems, where I challenge two very special guests to wait around in a bog of secondhand misery and maybe be crowned the grand poobah of problem solving, or some better title I may think of when this whole show has been canceled. And before we get back to our game, a quick update on our scores. We have a tie game. Our game stands at 2.5 versus 2.5. A very boring, boring edition of OPP so far. Let's try to spice it up, shall we, with a final question from round one. This is a workplace etiquette question unlike any other I have come across, and it's from Ask a Manager. Are you ready?
Yes.
Someone is taking phone calls while using the toilet in our shared bathroom. This is such a niche and gross question. I work in a very upscale building in a large city where we have very high-end VIP A-list celebrity clients on our floor at least several times a week. Needless to say, it's important for us to always look and act in the most professional manner possible. There are 4 office suites on my floor, and all of the employees in all offices are generally very courteous and kind and very professional and discreet. However, one employee in one of the other higher-end offices has a habit of taking and making phone calls in the shared bathroom while she is doing her personal bodily business. This is so disgusting and unprofessional, and 2 of our clients have mentioned something to us about being weirded out while trying to do their personal bodily business during a time that this, outside of my company, employee does hers. Additionally, I was just in there. She came in, clearly did number 2 while on the phone with a business contact, and did not wash her hands before leaving. This is so gross, and it makes the shared bathroom experience uncomfortable. She's maybe in her 30s and speaks very loudly. I asked my partner, who is from the same city that she is, if this is the norm where they are from. Not as obscene as it seems to me, maybe? And they told me no. I've never heard of anyone doing that, ever. What do I do? This is such a fragile, awkward thing to talk about. Do I bring it up with her boss? Do I leave an anonymous note? We all need our clients to have wonderful experiences from top to bottom when they are in our office space, and this kind of shit does not help. Ew.
Shit.
So, ask a manager. Kimberly, what do you believe Ask a Manager said to this writer-inner that is signed simply, ew?
Well, first of all, I would like to thank the loudspeaker because I don't want anyone to hear my business in the bathroom. And I would love if someone was in there loudly on the phone because that means they're not hearing my bodily functions.
Mm-hmm. I get
so that. So purely selfish.
Excellent point.
Thank you. I think you have to talk to the boss at the other company. Mm. And he could put out a memo not addressing anyone. And it would just state the bathroom habits because it's a shared bathroom. And I think that's totally appropriate.
All right. So you're saying talk to the other employee's boss.
Yes. But you don't have to say her name, but you could suggest a memo that goes around. And then if things don't change, it might have to be addressed more personally.
What do you think, Ellen?
Part of the writing, all that superfluous information, it really doesn't matter if it's a high-end building or celebrities go there. Nobody is better than anyone else. But if it bothers you, you have to respect shared spaces. It actually doesn't matter what she's doing, who works there, how nice it is. Everybody should always put their best foot forward. Sharing a bathroom with people can be disgusting. I mean, peeing on the seat, not washing your hands, keeping it gross. Those are all things that are a reasonable expectation when you share space. I don't think this woman has a leg to stand on to confront her directly, because unless it's actually infringing her work and doing anything other than thinking that it's gross, I don't think from a work perspective she has a leg to stand on. But I think in terms of a respecting space and communal spaces, I agree that going to a higher up, it's not your business to speak to her in any way, shape, or form, and that it should be left to the manager's discretion to do it. And I hate that stuff. Like, I hate having difficult conversations. I would not want to be that manager. But also, why do we have to multitask everything? Why do you have to multitask work and pooping? Just take the 2 minutes, scroll Instagram like the rest of us, and poop.
I don't want my phone in the bathroom even, because I don't want the germs going.
So Ellen, I have a question. You said a higher up. Which higher up do you think this writer inner should go to? Kimberly specifically said to this woman's boss. Which higher up do you think that this person should go to?
Whoever that woman reports to, which is probably a man, because, you know, the way things go, it should go. Men should be in charge of the women. Like, I think we'd all agree.
We need help.
Okay. So neither one of you are getting the fucking point. Because the answer that Ask a Manager said is, the best thing to do is confront this head on. The next time you're in the bathroom, say, this is awkward to ask, but can I ask you not to take calls in the stall? We've had some clients say they don't feel comfortable using the toilet while someone's in the phone right next to them. And if you're afraid to do that, speak to your boss, who's in a better position to speak to the manager in the other office.
That's a great point. Yeah.
A very good update to this that has just been posted, which is that this problem has been resolved. Guess how? I will give one of you 2 points if you can guess how this has been resolved.
The woman resigned.
I was going to say the woman no longer works there.
Why does a woman no longer work there?
She resigned.
Because she pooped so much that she clogged the toilets, and it turned out that she was intentionally clogging the toilet. She caused a massive flood in this big high-end building, and she couldn't pay the plumbing bill, so she was forced to resign.
Nope. She didn't wash her hands enough. She gave herself a horrible case of pink eye. And to her eyeball, it's gone. So she had to quit.
Nope.
Okay, I know. This is what happened. One day, J-Lo was there. And she was like singing and she saw J-Lo and she's like, oh my God, I love that song. Fetting at you and your boys went out to eat. And J-Lo's like, that's my not my fucking song, bitch. And then she got fired.
Nope.
Damn
so,
it.
So this woman no longer works there because she was fucking promoted to a different goddamn office. That's
what?
Right. This woman got promoted out of her disgusting mediocrity and now other fucking people have to deal with her talking in the bathroom.
No, because if she's promoted, maybe she has her own private bathroom.
I hope so.
She can not wash her hands and talk on the phone, have a naked dance party, whatever she wants.
I would like to say I would never do that. I would never confront someone head on like that. Not for all the money in the world would I ever do that. I would just complain about it, maybe make a TikTok about it.
That's right.
Yeah. We are classy ladies who talk about people behind their back.
Correct.
Yes,
you pay your fucking minimum 20% if you've had terrible service and you talk about it in the goddamn car.
Absolutely.
That's how it works.
I would never do that. I think that's bad advice. I want all my points back. I want double points for having to listen to that answer.
No.
Do I get a point for the sound effects blocking your own bodily functions?
Though? No.
You said great point.
No.
But you said the word point.
No. Okay. That marks the end of round one of Other People's Problems. We have a riveting game with a tie score of 2.5 points for Ellen Marsh and 2.5 points for Kimberly Arnold. And now we are going to ramp it up into the very high stakes part of the show. It is our advice lightning round. This round works a little bit differently. I'm going to read a question from the internet and present you with a choice of answers. And if you get the answer correct, you get 2 points. Is that clear to everyone?
I'm nervous.
I wasn't really listening, but yes.
Okay. These are multiple choice questions, and you have to pick which one you think is right, and you get 2 points if you get it right, Kimberly. That's how it works.
Got it. Got it.
And Kimberly, you're going to get the first question, and this subreddit that these questions are from is frankly completely wild, and it's one of my favorite places on the internet. This is from reddit.com/r/teenagers.
Oh, boy.
First question in the lightning round. Kimberly, what do you think about losing your virginity while being a teenager? Is the top answer A, it doesn't matter, and people who brag about losing their virginity super early really just have nothing else going on in their lives? B, provided it's between two people of similar age that consented to it, I really don't give a shit. C, I think that I'll definitely grow out of my teens while still being a virgin. D, garlic bread is just better.
A.
Yes, A is the correct answer, Kimberly.
Woohoo!
Yay!
You get 2 points. I should mention that all of the answers to all of these multiple choices are, in fact, real answers to all of these questions on reddit.com/r/teenagers.
Garlic bread is better, though.
Than teenage sex? Yeah.
Regular stale crusty bread is
better than
teenage sex
any day.
Yeah. Ellen Marsh.
It gets better.
This is from reddit.com/r/teenagers. What comes to mind when you think of Japan? Is the top answer A, cherry blossoms, B, kamikaze, C, Toyotas, D, Japan?
A, cherry blossoms.
No, the answer is C, Toyotas. I am sorry.
What?
I didn't even know those came from Japan. Look at me learning something. Thank you.
Kimberly, next question from reddit.com/r/teenagers. You got $1 billion only for one night. What will you do now? A, buy an apartment complex and rent it, LOL. B, invest it, sell stocks the next day, LOL. C, put that money into some sort of short-term high-interest savings account, LOL. D, I take what's needed to buy my grandma a house and donate the rest.
Oh, I don't know why they keep putting LOL, but...
Because they're teenagers?
Yeah, A.
Sorry, Kimberly. The answer is put that money into some sort of short-term high-interest savings account, LOL.
Okay, great.
Teenagers today.
I mean, they know what they're talking about. They really do. So
they're pretty good.
I should take that advice.
Ellen Marsh. This is from reddit.com/r/teenagers. My girlfriend fell asleep on my lap. What should I do? A. Let her sleep. B. What do you mean, what do you do? You're literally living the dream. C. This question is the biggest flex I've ever seen. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. I don't know, I'm lonely. D. Y'all are forgetting the classic of drawing a mustache on someone's face.
I hope it's D.
Of course it's D.
I'm surprised it's a mustache and not a penis.
Oh, boy, we're back to a tie game. 4.5 points to 4.5 points.
We're disappointing Rebecca. She wanted a little more fisticuffs.
I like it. It's coming down to the
maybe
wire.
Maybe Ellen and I are just soulmates.
Yeah. Kimberly, this is from reddit.com/r/teenagers. What was a rumor that went around your school? Is the top answer A, one of the teachers was suspected of sexually harassing some girls from seventh grade? B, the school allegedly embezzled money from the government that was supposed to be spent removing dangerous materials. Also, the principal somehow had the money to buy two Teslas. C, people just started believing my dad was Pablo Escobar. I'm not even Mexican. D, there was a rumor going around that someone hosted a fucking rave in the boys' restroom during lunch break.
I'm going with A, because it probably happened.
It is absolutely A. One of the teachers was suspected of sexually harassing some girls from seventh grade. Ellen Marsh, this is for 2 points. Once again, to make it a tie game before we go into the bonus round. From reddit.com/r/teenagers. How do I kiss a girl? A. First, you gotta stand on your hands and do a backflip while riding a skateboard. Then you gotta stick your damn tongue in her mouth. It's not that hard, dude.
Mm-hmm.
B. Make sure the mood is set first so she'll feel comfortable doing it. Then just send it. You'll learn with experience, man. C. Let me do it for you. D. Girls aren't real, so it doesn't matter.
A.
It's fucking 100% A.
Oh, gosh. Kids are so stupid. I love it.
All right. So we are now in the final bonus round. We're 3 points. So one of you could get this right and earn 3 points and take this whole game, or no one could get it right and this game could end in a tie. This is also a single multiple choice question. You both get to answer it, and whoever, if one of you guesses it right, gets the 3 points, or if you both choose to guess the same answer and guess it right, you'll both get the points. This is a question from the hodgepodge forum on Reddit, simply called Ask Reddit. Ellen, I'm going to give you the first stab at this question. What seemingly harmless animal would be the most terrifying animal if it were suddenly 10 times its size? What is the top answer? Is it A, a porcupine? B, a Canada goose? C, a praying mantis? D, any kind of crab?
Those are all terrifying. The goose.
Kimberly, I'll want me to read the answers again?
No, I got it. I'm going with praying mantis.
This is very exciting because we actually have a winner. An honest to God winner. The winner of today's Other People's Problems is Canada Goose. It is Ellen Marsh.
Oh my God.
Ellen, you know,
man. These
are
terrifying.
You
fucking
know.
They're terrifying.
I don't know if they're already terrifying. So I don't think they need to be any bigger to be terrifying.
They will peck your eyeballs out.
If you know, you know, man.
Eat them for lunch. Also, have you seen kangaroos?
I have. I'm all about kangaroo Twitter and kangaroo Instagram, man. Have you heard? Do you have any advice out there for other people who might be hoping that they can attain the title of Grand Poobah of Other People's Problems that you have attained today?
Honestly, go to the gym, eat vegan. I'm kidding. I don't do any of those things. No, I'm a fucking idiot. And Kimberly is a goddess. And I just happened to win today. I will be rubbing this in her face for the foreseeable future.
Ellen, if folks want to reach out to you on the internet and seek your counsel, how can they find you there?
Yes, you can find me at Ellen Marsh. I spell my name with a Y. Please bring it up with my mother. On all platforms. And I'm Ellen Marie Marsh on TikTok. I don't want to talk about it. And you can follow any of my podcasts at I Think Not Pod or Rabia and Ellen, or you can find me on Grab Bag.
Kimberly Arnold, how does it feel losing to Ellen Marsh today on Other People's Problems? Are you all right?
No. And if you're going to ask me what my Instagram handles are, I am retreating from the internet in shame.
Oh, you don't want to be found? You don't want people to listen to your podcast or anything?
This is how the Unabomber's origin story started.
All right.
He lost to Ellen on a show very similar to this.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, I'll just tell people to listen to Date with Dateline. It's fucking
That's
great.
Fine.
And of course, I'm always willing to dole out my very own unqualified advice, first or second hand, and not of the hit or miss quality like Kimberly's. You can feel free to hear some of that on my own show, Married with Podcast. That's on our Partners in Crime Media Patreon. But you can also follow me everywhere at Reb Lavoy. Music for this podcast is by Henry Lavoy, and production is by me, Rebecca Lavoy. Have you read an internet problem that you want me to include on a future episode of Other People's Problems? Shoot me an email at reblavoy@gmail.com or send me a tweet. For everyone here at Partners in Crime Media, I am Rebecca Lavoy, and I will catch you later.
In crime media.